Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is Jan Nigro. Nigro is the co-founder and songwriter for the highly acclaimed young people's chorus Vitamin L. Vitamin L has performed over 1,000 concerts since 1998. They have performed with legends such as Pete Seeger and Peter Yarrow, as well as at the United Nations. Nigro has composed for National Geographic, Disney, and for over 15 years has been the composer in residence for the Hangar Theatre's Project 4. He is co-producer of a show called Stoned Soul Picnic, a musical memoir about his late sister, the great singer-songwriter Laura Nyro. Nigro is also the founder and musical director of the popular chorus Mostly Motown. And welcome to the show.
Nice to be here.
Nice to have you back. Now, let's talk a little bit about the founding of Vitamin L. What was the impetus? What were the thoughts? What was the mission? Talk about that.
Well, it actually started in 1989. We've done over 1,000 concerts since then. And I had a friend, I still have her, who was an educator in the New York City school systems. She was doing an after-school character education program back in the late 80s, and she knew I was a songwriter, and she asked me to write some songs for this project. And so I wrote 18 songs. Each one was about a different value. It'd be a song about diversity, about honesty, so on and so forth. The program was well-received, and I was encouraged to make the songs more widely available to the public. Mm. So I made a demo tape, and it fell into the hands of a woman named Cass Morgan. We had given a copy to a friend of ours, and he was friends with Cass. And Cass is a Broadway, established Broadway star. She's this incredible singer. And she was able to listen through the roughness of this tape, cassette tape, and liked the songs and said, I want to get involved. I want to do something with this. So that was the very beginning. And she knew a producer named Jeff Waxman, and that was the nucleus. And then we got other singers. There were three adult singers and three teenage singers. I was one of the adult singers. And we had local kids sing as a chorus on the choruses of the songs. So we had professional soloists, but we had the local kids sing as a chorus. When we started to perform, we realized, Janice and I, that we could not possibly ask the professionals who lived in New York and one was in Florida to come up here and perform regionally with us. And so there was a new entity, the performing entity, which was Jan Nigro and the Vitamin L Chorus. So the local kids then took over the solos of the professionals who couldn't be there. I sang my solos, and then it was a different entity. So the recording entity through all the recordings stayed the same, but the performing entity was Jan Nigro.
That is so great. And you mentioned Janice, your wife Janice Nigro is a great part of Vitamin L as well. Now, was this always supposed to be educational, passing along values of love and peace and so on for kids? Was that the original mission
that
always?
Was always from the very beginning. That was the whole mission. It has continued to be that, which I love. I love that about it. The challenge on doing something like this is that you don't want to be preachy. Mm. You want it to be hip, to sound captivating, and so kids will listen to it. Because no matter what, if the music, if the sound is not resonating with people, it doesn't matter how highfalutin your message is, it's not going to go over.
Yeah, exactly.
So we seem to have been successful in that sense, is that kids really like it. We've won a number of the top awards for children's music, and we're here after 27 years. So
I think it's a wonderful, wonderful project. I'm so glad it's still going. So talk to us a little bit about the logistics. I mean, the ages are like 10 to 18, or what are the ages of the kids, and do they have to try out?
They do. It's auditions. The youngest that we take them in, although in the very first album, we hadn't really set things up, so we had some kids who were 8 or 9 years old, but once we set up how we were going to do things, the end of fifth grade is the youngest when we audition kids.
That's a great age.
It's a great age, I know. And then it just goes on. I mean, we have kids, if they happen to be going to college in town and they want to keep singing with us, that's great. It's open-ended. I'm always the oldest. But other than that, I mean, we'll sometimes have a concert where we'll have a kid doing their first concert. You know, they're 10 and a half years old. and then somebody 18, and somebody 16, somebody 15. And
oh, I love that. I love that. That's, we need more of that in this community, this diversity of ages. Now, I want to play an excerpt from your most recent CD. It's called Sing for Dr. King, Vitamin L Songs for a Beloved Community. And this one's called Martin's Heart, and you write all the music. So tell us a little bit about this before we hear it.
Martin's Heart was an unusual project. I should mention, we recorded four albums, that really dates me to use that word, but from 1989 to 1995, and then we stopped. We continued to perform songs from those albums because there was 49 songs recorded over those albums. We didn't think that we were going to, we had no intention of making another album. We figured we covered all the important bases in the area of character education. Then my wife, Janice, who I think we mentioned is the co-founder and director of this whole thing. I mean, she carries this on her shoulders, really. She had an inspiration to do another recording about the civil rights movement. Mm. She grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, and her parents were activists in the civil rights movement. As a matter of fact, the King family, Dr. King and his family, were family friends of Janice's family. They'd have dinner together before Martin became a world figure. Uh-huh. So she knew him and his family very well and was very inspired by the civil rights movement. And so we decided to embark on this recording. And so I wrote some new songs. There was a song about the Freedom Riders, I think a couple of songs about Dr. King. And there were some of our previously recorded songs that were in line with the civil rights movement, even though they may not specifically mention it. And so Martin's Heart, the challenge for me as a songwriter is it's kind of a history lesson.
Yeah, exactly.
With a lot of facts. And so when you're writing a song and you have a lot of facts and dates, you have to be careful because it could be just deadly boring. And so I had to be real careful on that. But hopefully it's not deadly boring. And Jeff Peterson, who's a local guy from Vitamin L, did such a beautiful job singing it.
Yeah, let's listen to a little bit of it.
When Dr. King was just a boy, he learned about black and white and about the laws that took away black people's civil rights. He fought for what he knew to be fair, and great truth flowed from him. He said, we should be judged by our character, not the color of our skin. In the nation, but there were folks who were trying to stop black voter registration. To Selma, Martin went to march, and thousands did arrive. This is what led to the Voting Rights Act of 1965. He had a heart so big.
I can't believe how beautiful Jeff's voice is. And your lyrics are really compelling.
Oh,
it's a history lesson and entertainment all at the same time, and it's beautiful.
I'm trying.
Really
thanks.
Beautiful. Tell us about Martin Luther King's idea for a beloved community, which is the subtitle of this CD, and something that you're probably trying to carry on, obviously.
Yes. Well, you know, this was a phrase that is connected with Dr. King, and it really is seeing our common humanity as opposed to fearfully looking at our differences. It's a timely philosophy, especially today, where things have gotten out of hand and people are really afraid of other people. And it's being stirred up in all kinds of ways, you know, politically and so on. So Dr. King had a beautiful philosophy, and to whatever degree we can live up to it, it betters humanity, I think.
Yeah. I was going to ask you too. Is it more of a challenge in this climate and this culture of fear of other, fear of terrorism, fear of anybody who's different than us, to build self-esteem and help kids with these issues. We hear more about bullying. And how is Vitamin L responded?
I think these things are always issues. Right now, it's come to a head. The things that are right up front in our face every day now because of the politics that are going on, we're having to really think about this. And it shows who we are. It's a bit polarizing. You know, it's upsetting to see people go in a direction of fear. But I think Vitamin L stays pure to its intentions and celebrates diversity. I don't think issues of self-esteem are as much connected with what we're talking about right now as issues of appreciating the beauty of diversity, of different philosophies, and embracing people who are different than you. How boring it would be if we all believe the same thing and look the same and dress
absolutely.
The same.
And kids can learn so much about themselves by hearing about other people's ideas, cultures, experiences.
Yeah.
When you stay in a box, you end up feeling isolated and fearful.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Now, your wife Janice, as we've been talking about, Vitamin L is more than a children's chorus, right? A young people's chorus. You do workshops, you're out in the community, you go into the schools. Tell us about the other roles of Vitamin L besides the singing.
Well, we do some service projects. You know, we want to walk the walk as well as sing the talk. So Janice is really an amazing worker, very resourceful, and she has kept this thing moving along. She does a lot more with the project than I do. I wrote the songs, I show up and sing, but she's sort of the mastermind that keeps it going. There are some workshops involved. I can't tell you a whole lot of information about that, but she could speak eloquently about that. And, we do some service projects. We try to keep the kids, you know, involved in this. I think it's important to not just sing about it, but to do it.
Uh-huh. And I would assume that you're considered a mentor for a lot of these kids. You work with them. You spend days and hours rehearsing and getting ready for shows. Do you give them advice? Or do you feel like you're kind of a counselor for some of these kids as well?
I let the music do the talking. I would say that Janice spends more time with them than I do. She runs the rehearsals. I know my part already, having sung in over 1,000 concerts. She's sort of the nuts and bolts, everyday contact person, knows the endless details about things. So I think she's with them more than I am. But on stage and at the shows, we're both, with the kids. I don't really take separate time to talk about issues with them. I mean, occasionally there'll be some reason to do that. Mm-hmm. But it's the project itself. And the music and the lyrics carry a weight that, you know, kids that are singing this can't help but be, unless they're completely disconnected, but I don't think our kids are, influenced by it. And that's where the mentorship, I think, mainly lies. But I will say that Janice is fantastic with the kids. She's just warm and friendly, and when she needs to be firm, it's not unpleasant. She's great with the kids. I mean, I watch her directing the whole thing, and it's awesome.
Oh, well, you guys are both a great influence on kids. It's so nice to have something positive going on in this culture for a sustained amount of time. Now, another excerpt from Sing for Dr. King I want to play. This is called That Is a Mighty Power. Cass Morgan is the lead vocal. Tell us about the song.
Well, That Is a Mighty Power is really about service. And how people, when they look at the world and the enormity of the problems of it, they can become paralyzed. What can I do? I can do, do anything.
Mm-hmm.
This song, the philosophy of this song is really stated in the second half of the chorus. If you add a little love to your own little space, you add to the love of the whole human race. So it's saying that in everyday life, the little things that you do, they do count. You don't have to try to run out and save the world. That adds to the saving of the world. The little interactions, little things mean a lot. So that's what that song says.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Jan Nigro. He is the director and songwriter of the Young People's Chorus Vitamin L. We're talking about his project and much more. Let's play an excerpt from the song that we were talking about, That Is a Mighty Power. You know, I love the lead vocals on these.
Oh, gosh.
People's voices are amazing.
They're pros. These are great songs.
Yeah, and it's so beautiful to hear the kids' chorus, you know, wafting in, you know, at certain points. Now, I want to ask you this. As a songwriter for Vitamin L, is it a challenge for you as an adult taking in all the problems of the world to be able to filter your words toward writing for kids? I mean, how do you deal with that? Yeah, I mean, you're not writing things like Eve of Destruction and, you know.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, no, there's a road you travel on when you're writing for young people. And it doesn't seem confusing or complicated to me. And I've had kids, young people, you know, including teenagers, say, how did you know what we think? Or how did you know? But it's come natural to me from the very beginning just to write songs that are not overly intense or heavy or negative or dark. We do touch upon, there's no avoiding, if you're going to write about some of the issues that, you know, I'm writing about, then there's got to be some mention of it, but it's in how you do it. You know, if you're going to do it in a way that's morbid or heavy-handed, then that wouldn't work too well with kids.
Yeah. I was wondering if you have to filter through your own, you know, I mean, many of us who've lived in this world for a while are sort of cynical about things this point. I want to talk just a little bit about the fact that you and Vitamin L and Janice have gotten these awards. You've got a letter from President Obama. You got an award from the New York State Governor for your work with young people. How does that affect you?
It feels good. You don't set out looking for that, but it feels nice because it's validation, appreciation of what you're doing.
And you feel like you're on the right road, right? And recognition for all this work, right?
Yeah. We don't complain about that.
Let's talk a bit about your late great sister, Laura Nyro. You wanted to bring up the fact that there's so much going on around her legacy, around her music. Talk to us about it. Talk to us about the musical that you're involved in.
Well, this is a renaissance of her music. It's just a fantastic time. And there's so many different projects. So I have one that I've co-produced with a woman named Diane Garisto, who is a great singer who has sung, you know, back up with Laura and toured with her. She's sung with everybody, Paul Simon and Steely Dan and everybody. And she's just a great singer. And she and I have had the longest phone calls. I'm not a phone person that stays on a lot, but with Diane, I'm on the phone a lot, and I enjoy our conversations planning out this show. We did the show once.
It's called Stone Soul Picnic,
Stone Soul
right?
Picnic, a musical memoir. There are a number of shows about Laura. The thing that I guess that separates this is the personal connection.
Mm.
Because my sister, and so I have a lot of interesting reminiscences, and there's rare photos and little surprises that people who love her and her music would delight in. And Diane's connection, being somebody who toured with her, we bring that to it. And we had, when we did it, which was in 2012, we did it at the Katharine Hepburn Theater in Connecticut. And we had a woman named Emily Bindiger as one of the other singers, and Margaret Dorn. And these are all people who are highly established, who have sung and toured with all of the top people. They're great, great people. And a woman named Judy Palma on piano, who's musical director of the of Benny King. Benny just recently passed on. But anyway, they're all top-notch musicians. The show that we did, the timing was horrendous because it was during that humongous storm where you know, people couldn't get out of their houses. We still filled up, not the whole audience. I think we would have filled it up, but we had a nice-sized audience who braved the elements. And it was a beautiful show. And then things got in the way, all kinds of various factors delayed us, and we had to put it on hold. Diane and I are talking again about resurrecting the show. There's a few other obstacles we'll have to see. I'm hoping
that we can do it. You have to do it. You have to. Tell me, Jen, why do you think Laura's music is still resonating, even after all these years? I mean, I could probably tell you why I think it is for me, but tell us what you think.
You know, it's very hard to put into words why a piece of music is great. You know,
it seems timeless.
Well, is that. It's not something that, I mean, it has roots in music that may have occurred at a certain time, but she has fused things in a hybrid that's so remarkable. I don't know if I could articulate why it is, but it's just great stuff. It's thrilling.
And it still seems new to me, a lot of it, when I listen to her stuff.
Yeah.
She was way ahead of her time, for one thing.
So.
That's what I would
say
too.
Yeah.
Now, we'll continue talking about this, but before we run out of time, I want to play one final excerpt from Sing for Dr. King CD. This one's called Tear Down the Walls, apropos for what's happening culturally and politically. Yeah. Tell us a bit about the song.
Well, the song is sort of the anti-Trump song. I don't want to turn this into a whole political thing, but the title of the song is the opposite of what that philosophy being presented by Mr. Trump. There are walls of concrete, walls of steel, but the thickest ones you'll find are the walls that people put up in their hearts and in their minds. Walls because of different skin or the features on a person's face, walls because of their religion, their language, or native place. The more walls you put around you, the more walls are going to block your view, tear down the walls. So it's about, it mentions all the different walls that we put up for all the different reasons. And it's a kind of a almost spiritual gospel tune. And Curtis King is the lead vocalist on that, and he just blows it away. He's just great.
Let's listen to it.
You'll find are the walls that people put up in their hearts and in their minds. Walls because of different skin or the features on a person's face. Walls because of their religion, their language, or a native place. The more walls you put around you, the more walls are gonna block your view.
Yeah, I cannot say enough about the vocalists on these songs, and what a perfect song for this time. You know, I mean, let's play it all over the country. Now let's go back a little bit to what we were talking about your sister, the late Laura Nyro. What else is going on with her work and her legacy?
Well, there are a number of different shows. I don't want to rustle these papers too much. There are two one-woman shows that have been around New York City. One of them is called To Carry On. It's by a very talented woman named Mimi Cohn. And in the show, I haven't seen either of these shows, but she does all these different characters, including my family. She actually plays my mother, my father, and so on and so forth. And there's a woman named Kate Ferber who has a different show where she plays different characters. These people can sing. I mean, really sing. I haven't seen Kate's show either, but super talented.
So these people are all inspired by Laura Nyro, right? I mean, for all these years, they're still thinking about
Well,
her
interestingly
work.
Enough, Kate is young. Kate might still be in her 20s, but, you know, it loves Laura's music enough to be doing this show. And the show is actually doing well. It's been circulating at different venues, so she's out there with it. One of the big things that happened was in the Grammys, a guy named Billy Childs, who is this phenomenal jazz pianist, grew up loving Laura's music. And he had an idea to record an album of all her music. And so he got together a cast of luminaries, Renee Fleming,
wow.
for instance, accompanied by Yo-Yo Ma, does one song. Ricky Lee Jones does a song. Alison Krauss. Lisa Fisher, who was featured in 20 Feet from Stardom, who's this incredible singer, does one. Sean Colvin. And there's a number of others. They're all great.
And so this is a CD that's going to be or is available.
It's out. It won the Grammy in the jazz category. I think of Best Arrangement. I can't remember the subtitle of that category.
Wow.
But it won the Grammy.
What's the name of it?
It's called Map to the Treasure, Reimagining Laura Nyro.
Wow.
Billy Childs plays and sort of did a number of the arrangements. Maybe he did all the arrangements. I'm not sure. And he gathered this great group of singers, he and his producer. And it's a brilliant album. Because he stayed true to her music, but he also took it to these very unusual places that were really outside the box. But you never got the feeling that he was compromising the music at all.
Wow,
so
it's
a brilliant album, and it won that Grammy Award. And he also is an absolutely delightful person. So I'm very happy about it.
That's so great. It's so great to hear that her music and her spirit live on. Now, we are almost out of time. In regard to Vitamin L, any concerts coming up? Anything we can expect in the new year?
We do have concerts coming up, and this is where Janice would be so handy to tell you exactly when and where they are. I just go where she tells me.
but I assume people can look it up on the website.
They can look it up on the website.
Can you give us the website's address?
We're looking for new concerts. If anybody out there who's listening, we're definitely in the market to do more concerts. So bring us to your school or your community.
Yeah. Give us the address where they can get in touch, the website address.
VitaminL.org. VitaminL.org.
And that has all the information. It's a great website. It has all kinds of information.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can get in touch with you from that.
Yeah,
okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Jan Nigro, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
I absolutely love Vitamin L. I'm so glad you guys are thriving and still surviving. Listeners, hire them. Bring them into your schools. Bring them into your communities. We need them right now. Jan Nigro, thank you.
Thanks, Tish.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.